Easy FM，
听鸟儿的欢鸣，溪水的婉转。
There's in every living creature
that loves you。 爱与恨，悲与喜，苦与乐，得与失。听跳跃的文字，灵动的声音。
You're listening to More to Read。
欢迎来到轻松调频美文阅读 More to Read， 我是沈听，让我们在这里一起听美文学英语。今天我们将会听到法国著名作家维克多·雨果的一句话，中国现代著名建筑学家林徽因的一首诗歌《旅途中》，以及由美国著名作家斯科特·菲茨吉拉德创作的一篇短篇小说《The Sensible Thing》。
More to read，
用文字抒发感情，用文字诉说故事，用文字穿越古今。
Daily quote。
It is nothing to die. It is dreadful not to live. Victor Hugo。 死不算什么，活不下去太可怕了。维克多·雨果。我们刚才听到的这句话出自法国著名作家维克多·雨果的经典作品《悲惨世界》。这部长篇小说首次发表在1862年。《悲惨世界》的内容涵盖了拿破仑战争和之后的十几年的时间。该作多次被改编演绎成影视作品。故事的主线围绕主人公苦行犯冉阿让的个人经历，融进了法国的历史、革命、战争、道德哲学、法律、正义、宗教信仰。这个正当壮年的男人刚刚重获自由，在这之前他在地狱般的监狱里蹲了20年，所犯罪行是偷窃一块面包。在路上他遇到了卞福儒主教，这是第一个用关怀的眼神看着他并且给了他机会的人。时来运转，冉阿让化名马德兰不仅发了财，还当上了海滨蒙特伊小城的市长。在人生的上升期，他遇到了美丽的方汀，收养了他的女儿科赛特。他与阴险的警探沙威和怀揣革命梦的青年马吕斯不期而遇，前者为追捕他不遗余力。这部小说讲述的是一种救赎，冉阿让努力与命运的黑线抗争，让生活变得更美好。小说人物形象突出，色彩瑰丽，气势浩大，堪称现实主义与浪漫主义结合的典范，可以说是一部人类苦难的百科全书。It is nothing to die. It is dreadful not to live. Victor Hugo. 死不算什么，活不下去太可怕了。维克多·雨果。
More to read。
闭上双眼，静静聆听，敞开心扉，慢慢品味。
Poem of the day。
旅途中，林徽因。我卷起一个包袱走，过一个山坡子松，又走过一个小庙门，在早晨最早的一阵风中，我心里没有埋怨，人或是神，天底下的烦恼，连我的龙总，向意交给谁去？前面天空山中水那样清，山前桥那么白净，我不知道造物者认不认得自己图画。乡下人的礼貌、草鞋，乡下人的性情。
On the journey。By Lin Huiyin. I roll out a piece of baggage and go through a whole slope of pine trees and pass by the gate of the small temple at dawn in the earliest waft of breeze. I have no complaint at all of people or deities. All annoyances in the world and those of mine are all referred to someone. The sky ahead. In the hill, the water is so light. Before the hill, the bridge is so white. I don't know whether the creator can recognize the picture drawn by himself. The straw hats and straw sandals of some countrymen. The feelings of some countrymen.
刚才听到的诗歌出自中国现代著名建筑学家林徽因，诗歌的题目是《旅途中》（On the Journey）， 中文版本由南海之声的主持人周薇为您朗诵，英文版本由我的同事李宁静为您朗读，由赵燕春翻译。林徽因于1904年出生于浙江杭州，祖籍福建闽侯，今属福建福州。他是清华大学的教授，是中国著名的建筑学家、作家，被称为中国现代文化史上的杰出女性。1955年4月1日，林徽因与世长辞，享年51岁。
More to read.
文字的世界，用心用心聆听。
Beauty of words.
斯科特·菲茨杰拉德出生于1896年，1940年去世，是两次世界大战之间的主要美国作家。他善于刻画20世纪20年代繁荣已极而危机四伏的美国社会，被称为爵士乐时代的桂冠作家。其代表作为长篇小说《The Great Gatsby》，了不起的盖茨比。他一生也创作了多个短篇，虽然颇有一些为了满足生计之作，但是其中的佳品足以与最好的美国短篇小说相媲美。这些佳作大体上都收于两本选集中，《All the Sad Young Men》（悲哀的小伙子们）啊，和《Taps at Reveille》（起床时的熄灯号）。菲茨杰拉德的语言规范而生动，简练而富有哲理，是学习语言与译作的好材料。接下来我要为大家选读的这则故事，《The Sensible Thing》，要实际一些，作于1942年，收于《悲哀的小伙子们》啊。而我们选读的版本做了一定的删减。由于时间关系，今天我们先来读这篇文章的上半部分。中文版本由轻松调频的主持人念希为您朗读，由潘少忠翻译。The Sensible Thing by Scott Fitzgerald。
要实际一些，斯科特·菲茨杰拉德。
There it was on the bureau, the letter in secret ink on blessed paper. All over the city, people, if they listened, could hear the beating of George O'Kelly's heart. He read the commas, the blots, and the thumb smudge on the margin. Then he threw himself hopelessly upon his bed.
信摊在写字台上，写信的墨水是圣洁的，用的信纸也是神圣的。整座城市的人们啊，只要侧耳细听，准能听到乔治·奥凯利的心房跳动声。信上的每一个标点，每一个墨字，以致空白处手指蹭脏的每一个无痕，都读进了他的心里。看完，他绝望地扑倒在床上。
He was in a mess, one of those terrific messes which are ordinary incidents in the life of the poor, which follow poverty like birds of prey. The poor go under, or go up, or go wrong, or even go on. Somehow, in a way, the poor have. But George O'Kelly was so new to poverty that had anyone denied the uniqueness of his case, he would have been astounded.
乔治陷入了困境。像他这样极为狼狈的处境，原是穷人生活中常有的事，可以说如同魔影一样，总是缠住穷人不放。穷人嘛，不往上爬就完蛋，要不走上邪道，再就是用穷人所特有的办法混下去。不过乔治尝到贫穷的滋味还不长，要是有人说他的境遇不过是小事一桩，他准会惊奇地说不出话来。
Less than 2 years ago, he had been graduated with honors from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and had taken a position with a firm of construction engineers in southern Tennessee. All his life, he had thought in terms of tunnels and skyscrapers and great squat dams and tall three-towered bridges that were like dancers holding hands in a row, with heads as tall as cities and skirts of cable strand.It had seemed romantic to George O'Kelly to change the sweep of rivers and the shape of mountains so that life could flourish in the old badlands of the world where it had never taken root before.
不到两年前，乔治以优异成绩毕业于麻省理工学院，在田纳西州南部的一家建筑公司谋得一个职位。从小时候起，乔治想的就是隧道呀，摩天楼呀，巨大的平坝呀，有着三座塔墩的高桥呀，桥上的塔墩像一排手拉手的舞蹈家，塔尖像都市的大楼一样高耸入云，钢缆又如同姑娘的长裙一般婀娜多姿。乔治·奥凯利一直觉得，让江河改向，让高山让路，让世界上那些了无生机的不毛之地兴旺发达起来，这该有多么浪漫啊。
At present, he was an insurance clerk at $40 a week with his dream slipping fast behind him. The dark little girl who had made this mess, this terrible and intolerable mess, was waiting to be sent for in a town in Tennessee. Getting up from the bed, he wrote a telegram. Letter depressed me.Have you lost your nerve? You're foolish and just upset to think of breaking off. Why not marry me immediately? Sure, we can make it all right. He hesitated for a wild minute, and then added in a hand that could scarcely be recognized as his own. In any case, I will arrive tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
如今，他却在一家保险公司当小职员。一个礼拜挣$40，他的梦想正在随着岁月迅速流逝。而那位有着深色头发的娇小姑娘，就是她把一切都搞糟了，糟得简直让人受不了。她还在田纳西的一座小城市里等着她的召唤呢。乔治终于从床上爬了起来，拟了一份电报。信息甚为不安，你是否乱了方寸？你想吹真傻，无非是心烦意乱，何不马上嫁我，肯定可以过好。他慌乱无主地犹豫了片刻，接着添了一句，字迹几乎连自己都认不出是谁写的了，明日6点到达。
When he finished, he ran out of the apartmentand down to the telegraph office near the subway stop. He possessed in this world not quite $100. But the letter showed that she was nervous, and this left him no choice. He knew what nervous meant, that she was emotionally depressed, that the prospect of marrying into a life of poverty and struggle was putting too much strain upon her love.
乔治写完就跑出公寓，一口气跑到地铁车站旁边的电报局。他在这个世界上的全部钱财还不到$100，可是来信表明姑娘已经心乱如麻，他还有什么别的法子呢？他懂得什么叫做心乱如麻，那就是说他的情绪十分低落，只要一想到婚后要过一种一贫如洗紧紧巴巴的日子， 就像千斤重担一样压得他的爱情摇摇欲坠。
Jonquil Carey was her name, and to George O'Kelly, nothing had ever looked so fresh and pale as her face when she saw him and fled to him eagerly along the station platform. Her arms were raised to him. Her mouth was half parted for his kiss.
姑娘名叫琼基尔·卡里，她在月台上一看见乔治，便激动地向他飞奔过来。此时此地，对乔治来说，还有什么能比他的脸庞更娇嫩、更洁白呢？他的双臂朝着他举着，他的双唇半起，在等着他的亲吻。
They sat together on the sofa, overcome by each other's presence, beyond all except fragmentary endearments. At the supper hour, Jonquil's father and mother appeared and were glad to see George. They liked him and had been interested in his engineering career when he had first come to Tennessee over a year before. They had been sorry when he had given it up and gone to New York to look for something more immediately profitable.But while they deplored the curtailment of his career, they sympathized with him and were ready to recognize the engagement.
他俩在沙发上坐在一起，由于重逢而激动的什么话也说不出来，只是时而蹦出几个表示亲热的词儿。晚饭时刻，琼基尔的父母露了面，他们见到乔治挺高兴，他们喜欢他。一年多以前，当他头一次来到田纳西时，他们对他搞工程这一行很感兴趣。后来他辞了职，到纽约去找个来钱快的工作，他们还挺惋惜。不过，虽说他们对他改行一事表示遗憾，他们仍然同情他，并且欣然同意他俩订婚。
During dinner, they asked about his progress in New York.Everything's going fine, he told them with enthusiasm. I've been promoted, better salary. He was miserable as he said this, but they were all so glad. But you ought to save your money, Mrs. Carey reproached him gently. Not spend it, all on this expensive trip.
吃晚饭时，他们问起他在纽约干得怎样。一切顺利。他兴高采烈地说，我提升了，涨了薪水。他说这话，心里难受极了。可是他们听了却那么高兴。不过你应该把钱攒起来，卡里太太温和地责备了他一句，不要把钱都花在这么费钱的旅行上。
Dinner was over. He and Jonquil were alone.And she came back to his arms. So glad you are here, she sighed. Wish you never were going away again, darling. Do you miss me? Oh, so much, so much. Do other men come to see you often? The question surprised her. The dark velvet eyes stared at him. Why, of course they do. All the time.Why, I've told you in letters that they did, dearest.
用毕晚饭，他和琼基尔单独在一起了。琼基尔又扑入了他的怀抱。你在这儿，我真高兴。他长长地出了一口气，说：亲爱的，你要是永远不走了，该有多好。你想我吗？想，真想你。你是不是……别的男人是不是常常来看你？这个问题使他吃了一惊，他那天鹅绒一般的深色眼睛直直地望着他。哎，当然有，老有人来。哎，我不是在信里对你说过吗，亲爱的？
This was true, but he was in a super sensitive mood, and involuntarily he plunged into the specific world he had intended to avoid.When will you marry me? Are you ready for me to marry you? All at once, his nerves gave way, and he sprang to his feet. Just when I'm ready to marry you, you write me the most nervous letters, as if you are going to back out, and I have to come rushing down here.
You don't have to come if you don't want to.
But I do want to, insisted George.
It seemed to him that he was being very cool and logical, and that she was putting him deliberately in the wrong. With every word, they were drawing farther and farther apart, and he was unable to stop himself or to keep worry and pain out of his voice.
一点不错。然而此刻的乔治心绪异常亢奋，情不自禁地一下子就扯到了具体的话题，而这却正是他原来打算回避的。你什么时候和我结婚啊？你已经准备好跟我结婚了吗？陡然他失去了自制，跳了起来。我刚准备好跟你结婚，你就给我写来些莫名其妙的信，好像你想跟我吹了，害得我赶紧奔到这儿来。你不情愿来就不用来，我就是愿意嘛。乔治一点不松口，他觉得自己表现得极为冷静，讲道理，而他却在存心找茬。他俩越吵越凶，越说越远，但乔治已是欲罢不能，控制不住自己语气里流露出的忧伤。
In the heat of the next day, the breaking point came. They had each guessed the truth about the other, but of the two, she was the more ready to admit the situation.
There's no use going on, she said miserably. You know you hate the insurance business, and you'll never do well in it.
That's not it, he insisted stubbornly. I hate going on alone. If you'll marry me and come with me and take a chance with me, I can make good at anything, but not while I'm worrying about you down here.
第二天，矛盾越演越烈，终于崩了。两人都猜透了对方的实情，但还是穷吉尔比较能承认现实。再拖下去也没有用了，他十分难过地说。你也清楚，你对保险生意讨厌透了，干这一行，你永远也不会发迹的。问题不在这儿，乔治还在顽固地坚持。我对一个人单干讨厌透了，要是你跟我结婚，和我一起过，一起奋斗，我什么都能干好。可是你待在这儿，我又在那儿为你操心，就没法干好。
She was silent a long time before she answered, not thinking, for she had seen the end, but only waiting, because she knew that every word would seem more cruel than the last. Finally, she spoke. George, I love you with all my heart, and don't see how I can ever love anyone else but you. If you'd been ready for me 2 months ago, I'd have married you. Now, I can't.Because it doesn't seem to be the sensible thing.
他沉默了好一阵子才答话，倒不是在想些什么。他早已看出没有希望了，而是在等待时机。因为他知道，往下每说一句话，都会显得更加无情。终于，他开了口。乔治，我全心全意地爱你，我也知道除了你，我再也不会爱任何人了。要是你两个月以前就想娶我，我是会跟你结婚的。如今，不行了，因为明摆着这事太不实际了。
He made wild accusations. There was someone else. She was keeping something from him. No, there's no one else. This was true.But reaching from the strain of this affair, she had found relief in the company of young boys, who had the merit of meaning absolutely nothing in her life.
乔治不着边际地指责一通，准有个第三者插了足，他准有些事瞒着他。压根儿没有什么第三者。确实如此，但是他俩的事儿让他太苦恼了。他有时愿意和一些毛头小伙子一起玩玩，解解闷儿。这些人起码有这么个好处。他 他们在他的生活里根本不占什么地位。
George didn't take the situation well at all. He seized her in his arms and tried literally to kiss her into marrying him at once. When this failed, he broke into a long monologue of self-pity and ceased only when he saw that he was making himself despicable in her sight. He threatened to leave when he had no intention of leaving and refused to go when she told him that after all, it was best that he should.
对于这个情况，乔治根本无法正确对待。他紧紧地搂住琼吉尔，使劲地吻他，简直想把他吻得回心转意，马上就嫁给他。这一招不灵，他又开始自怜自叹，一个人说个没完，直到他看到这样做的结果，无非是使自己在琼吉尔眼中变得可笑可鄙时，他才住了口。乔治又威胁说要走，其实丝毫无此打算。等到琼吉尔说他离开倒是个最好的办法，他又拒绝走了。
For a while she was sorry. Then for another while she was merely kind. You'd better go now. She cried at last, so loud that Mrs. Carey came downstairs in alarm.Is something the matter? I'm going away, Mrs. Carey, said George brokenly. Jonquil had left the room. Don't feel so badly, George. Mrs. Carey blinked at him in helpless sympathy, sorry, and in the same breath, glad that the little tragedy was almost done. If I were you, I'd go home to your mother for a week or so. Perhaps, after all, this is the sensible thing.
有一阵子他心里也不好受，又有一阵子他只不过是居于情面而已。你还是走吧，琼吉尔终于嚷了起来，嗓门大的让卡里太太慌慌张张地从楼上走了下来。出了什么事儿了？
我要走了，卡里太太，
乔治伤心地说。琼吉尔已离开了房间。
别太难过了，乔治，
卡里太太眨着眼睛，同情而无奈地瞧着他。他既遗憾又高兴。这出小悲剧终于快演完了。依我看，你不如回家去跟你母亲待上一两个礼拜。说到底，这么做也许倒比较实际一些。
感谢您收听今天的美文阅读节目，您还可以通过云听和 CGTN 官方 APP 在线实时收听美文阅读以及轻松调频的其他节目。今天的节目就到这儿，我们明天见。